This morning is a celebration of movement and becoming. We will hear stories from two of our own who have stepped beyond familiar places to serve and to learn, and we will honor graduates who are stepping into new chapters of life. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends the 70 out in pairs, not with the certainty of all of the answers, but with trust, openness, and a call to bring peace wherever they go. These moments remind us that faith is not static. It grows, stretches, and sends us outward into the world with curiosity and courage. As we gather these stories and milestones together, we recognize that each one echoes that same sending. Whether traveling to serve or stepping into what comes next, we are all part of a shared calling to carry compassion, to receive hospitality, and to be present to the Spirit already at work in the world. Today, we give thanks for the ways lives have been changed, for the journeys still unfolding, and for the courage to go, just as we are, trusting that love will meet us along the way. I would like to begin by reading you a small piece of a story of Abraham and Sarah's journey. It's from the Book of Belonging, Bible Stories for Kind and Contemplative Kids. It's a story of God's faithful people on a journey that leads to even bigger and better things. The story is called A Family of Belonging. Hear this new story, or this familiar story, in a new way. Dust and starlight, starlight and dust. Sarah and Abraham had been traveling across long and lonesome stretches of land, hemmed in by the dust below and the stars above. Have you ever noticed how long walks help straighten out your thoughts? Left, right, left, right. Something about the plodding rhythm settles things into place. Abraham had been walking for so long that all his thoughts lay smooth. Smooth as the starry sky, smooth as the dusty road. God knows me, Abraham thought. He had untangled that in the first few hours of walking. God spoke to me. He remembered it clearly, like an echo in his head. God made big promises. God had asked Abraham to pack up his life and travel to a brand new land. Follow me to a new land where I will make your family grow into a nation, was God's invitation. From that new land, through your great family, I will bless the whole world. God's dream for people had not changed. They were made to belong with and be like God, to care for the earth and one another. Abraham and Sarah were being invited to join that dream, to start a new place of belonging where everyone could learn about God and God's good names for them. So they followed God to the promised land. Sarah and Abraham had many miles to mull over God's promises. But there was one they returned to when the road felt long. A family of our own. So now that we have spoken of being sent out and stepping forward in faith, we have the gift of hearing what that looks like in lived experiences. I invite Hugh Yoon and then Paul Yoon to come forward and share their stories. Like those sent ahead in the Gospel of Luke, they have carried peace into new spaces and discovered the Spirit already at work there. As we listen, may we be open again to the ways we too are called and sent. When their sharing is complete, we will turn to a time of honoring our graduates, celebrating the journey still unfolding among those we love. Hugh and Paul, if you'd like to come forward.
First of all, I just want to thank everyone thank the church for granting me the opportunity to stand here and share about the time that I had in Uganda over the past winter break in December. The journey in Uganda, it was comprised of joy, deep convictions, and fullness of Jesus. I went with the navigators in the Blue Ridge region. Yeah, there's six different photos that I have. But yeah, navigators in the Blue Ridge region. So there was Georgia Tech and also Clemson, Alabama, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and a few other schools. But yeah, my team and I got to work on two different main projects when we went there. There was Dr. Tim who hosted us. He's a doctor in Uganda. He's a Ugandan himself, and he runs a local clinic, and he also runs water cleaning projects all around the country. And I was heavily involved with the water cleaning project. We were responsible for digging trenches along the local areas, villages, and also handing out water filters throughout different villages. What I've witnessed there was quite close to what I have imagined. There were houses with one room full of people. That's where they live. People sitting outside their houses, not really doing anything. Kids running around, villagers barefoot. That's pretty typical. And people fetching water from dirty water ponds. And those water ponds are where motorcycles are washed. People do laundry there. Yeah, and they drink that water. There was also little kids, around like 11-year-olds, they wouldn't go to school to help their family with their farm work. And they barely are able to provide for their family with that even. So seeing that, although I had expected it, witnessing them with my eyes, it was difficult. My soul ached, and I couldn't help but try to think of ways to fix everything. What can I do to fix everything? Which is not the most effective tool. I'm not God. But one of the bigger things that I grappled the most with was this idea. Why is it that I have greater earthly gifts than these people do? I couldn't understand that. I couldn't comprehend how God could be just and fair when I have more than they do earthly. And that broke my heart. And Corinne, she was our leader, and she shared Acts 17, 26 through 27. And this is how it reads. From one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. It literally says God appointed their times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Why did he do it? So that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. So I learned that it's not by chance that I'm here in the States and those Ugandans are in Uganda and those people in North Korea are in North Korea. Those are not by chance, but God did that under his sovereign will. Why? So that people would reach out for him. Who knows, if I were there, I would not reach out for him, and those Ugandans were here, it may have been a different story. But God did it so that we would all seek him and find him. I was humbled by that. And that relieved me. And from that, I was able to come to a better understanding of how I can pray for them. It's not that I should do more work to fix their circumstances, but what God wants is that he wants me to understand his heart and what he can do. That God is doing things in the unseen more than the things that are seen. What God is concerned about is the people knowing him, knowing who he is and what he has done for all men, not just for Americans, but for Ugandans and the whole globe. And another thing that stood out to me was their faith despite their circumstances. And I'm confident that their reward in heaven will be greater than mine. because of their faith that is given with what they have. To those who have more, God requires more. And that means that we are required, more required of from God than those people are, and they seem to give more to God than I do. So I was convicted by that and also encouraged by that to move forward, knowing that I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. Jesus is our unshakable King, and so therefore I'm unshakable as well. So are all of you guys. So, I pray that I would seek God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Ugandans seek the Lord in the same manner. And I pray that God would strengthen the souls of Ugandans, that they may not grow weary in their lack of earthly possessions, and that God would show great compassion on them as they depend on Him. I pray that Jesus would have mercy on His children in Uganda as they work heartily for the Lord. Thank you for your prayers and the donations that you guys have made to make this trip possible, and being a part of this God's kingdom work. Thank you.
Good morning. I prepared a video, and it's about 4 minutes long, so before I share it, I like to just briefly share my experience. And last December, I had a privilege to go on a mission trip to Piedras Negras, Mexico, with a student organization called GEMA from Georgia Tech, and it stands for Global Medical Missions Alliance. And we went on a mission trip to support those who are in need medically, and I had an opportunity to interact with kids from the kindergarten to up to high school. And one thing, or two things, I found common in them were joy and security. Not just normal joy or security, but something that they had in whatever situation or circumstance they were in. And just seeing them being joyful, I saw myself worrying and being anxious in the littlest or smallest thing or smallest circumstance I am in. And I was very convicted. They had this joy when they are in need financially and medically, and just knowing that there's Heavenly Father who feeds us, clothes us, and who guides us. And I did not recognize or remember that there's Heavenly Father. And just seeing that, it convicted me that there's nothing to be afraid of, because there's Heavenly Father who watches over us and who truly searches us and wants to have a deep relationship with us. And through this experience, I learned more than just going out sharing the gospel with them. And I was able to truly learn what true joy is. A joy is in something that you find happiness in, but it's also being grateful for and the fact that there's Heavenly Father who will lead us out of all the sufferings and difficulties.